The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This gentleman to my left is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I don't know. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear your mic on.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Oh,
now,
hey! There he is.
is that a brand new shirt? Is that what that is?
No, I just don't wear it very often.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you're fitting into it now for the
one? No, not one of those. I've got a couple of those though.
All right,
that have circled back, that have remade the rotation.
What? You've been downplaying this. How many pounds have you lost?
Over 50.
Wow.
Over 50.
Good for you, man. Are you going for another 50, or is that enough?
Another 50 would be nice. I'm going for 25 at least more.
I like it. Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Downplaying tremendous weight loss. On the show today, Paul Carr on the Premier League coming up here momentarily. We'll talk about the NFL Are We Sure segment. Estamos Seguros. We have that coming up as well. A little talk on the NFL number one draft pick for 2025, because we touched on it earlier in the week. Might as well take a longer look at those odds, see if there might be some value. And then hour number two on a Football Friday. Usually it's Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Today it's going to be Fezzik and Dr. Bob, because Chris has been on this show, the Bear, 47 times in the last 2 weeks.
We figured we'd give him a day off.
Yeah. So, you know, take the day off for Chris Felica. But we will have Fezzik here in studio. Fezzik, who's already tweeting the show, he's hyping the show, A, because he's on it, B, because he's also on it. He said, do not miss today's show. This is him on Twitter. I will reveal how one random discovery led to me making millions betting football. How about that?
Oh, what a tease. What a tease from Fezzik.
I want to find out myself. My God, what's he going to say?
You have to stick around an hour and 15 minutes for that one, folks.
It's a little promotion of something a little more than an hour down the line, but we'll get to that. We want to start, of course, with the college football quarterfinal, the final of the four quarterfinals yesterday. I didn't have this one, Kelly. I was wrong. I had Georgia.
Oh, I've been wrong on every single one of them, Gil.
You know what? Can I be honest? Every bowl season seems to take the same trajectory for me, which is it's a really torrid start, right? You go through the first week or so and you're like, I'm so good at this. And then it takes a turn.
Yeah.
It always happens that way for me.
I mean,
seemingly.
Next week, I'll have to pull up what my actual college football betting record is on the season.
Because
it's just a laughable small amount of games. I barely even bet it anymore. But as I texted you yesterday, the day before, it doesn't even matter at this point, where I was like, if you just lifetime faded me on college football,
you'd be doing well.
Oh, man, you would be doing well.
Well, Dr. Bob will come later to talk about the two college football semifinals lines. Later on the show, we'll get his expert opinion. But as far as yesterday's game, Georgia and Notre Dame, well, that escalated quickly.
Yep.
To quote Anchorman. My goodness, this was a 3-3 game. A 3-3 game. Well, how did it get to 3-3? Georgia looked like they were going to take a lead. They matriculated the ball down the field, up 3-0. At 3-0, they matriculated the ball down the field. When it was 3-3, or even before that, they had a drive. Remember where they got to 3rd-and-1 at the Notre Dame 16. Trevor Etienne hit by Shuler, fumbled, recovered by Jaden Osbury. That was the first sort of moment where you're like, okay, this might not be good. The second moment prior to it being 3-0 was Stockton to Arian Smith for 67 yards, but sideline interference.
Mm-hmm.
Called on old number 39 Parker Jones. Did his little Bartman moment.
Yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't escalate. You know what I mean? They had to settle for the 3-0 lead at that point. So that's actually a huge key to the game right there. Whatever Georgia was doing right didn't work out. And if you were a Georgia backer or a Georgia fan, you were definitely thinking to yourself, okay, that's not good. Because how many points left on the board there? You could argue perhaps 11 points left on the board. And so Notre Dame gets it. It's 3-3. Notre Dame then ends up scoring 17 points in a 58-second span of football.
Yeah.
Is that good?
It's pretty good.
The field goal to make it 6-3, a 48-yarder by Jeter, who, by the way, was great, 3-for-3. That made it 6-3. Then first play ensuing drive, Stockton hit by R.J. Oben, fumbles recovered by Junior, Tuilamaka. That leads to the next play. Leonard to Bo Collins from 13 out, 13-3. And then in the double dip, the ultimate double dip, they return the second half opening kickoff, 98 yards. Jaden Harrison does to the house, 20-3. And I don't want to say Katie barred the door at that point, but it was Katie barred the door at 23-10 when Georgia failed on a 4th-and-5 at the Notre Dame 9, Stockton incomplete, intended for Lawson Lucky. And then the final dagger, or the final nail in the coffin. By the way, have you heard that people are starting to call death nails now all of a sudden? People are getting that wrong. That's a new thing.
Gil.
Yeah.
It's been about a whole 7 months probably since I've known the difference now.
The death knell was finally at that score. Notre Dame 3 and out. And then they do the old, let's run the punt team off real quick and put in 11 guys on offense. And unlike the Brett Bielema strategy, it's the let's run our defenders on as quickly as humanly possible. And let's be all frazzled about it. And they jump off sides and that's it. And it leads to, instead of a 3 and out at 23-10, a 12 play, 41 yard drive for the Irish that took 7:36 off the clock all the way down past the 2 minute warning. They actually punt with 2 minutes left in the game. And that's it. That's all she wrote. Georgia, bad things from beginning to end.
Yeah, I thought Riley Leonard was, especially on that last drive, was like really impressive though, picking up some of those first downs with his legs.
The jump in the air.
Yeah. It might not have been a huge statistical game, but a gritty performance by one of the better quarterbacks.
Gritty, I like that. Gritty, just true. So we have the two semifinal lines, which again, we're going to have to wait, you know, a week for here. We have one on Thursday night, one on Friday night. So it's going to be consecutive nights next week. Texas, as we talked about yesterday, is going to be a 6-point dog, or at least they are a 6-point dog right now against Ohio State in one of the semis. Notre Dame installed. Once again, you got to install it before you bet it. Installed as a 1.5-point favorite against the Nittany Lions of Penn State. You got any bets, Mr. College Football?
I got nothing. I think I'd be looking under on that one. But man, that feels like a popular opinion already. And then Ohio State's laying 6 to Texas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the recency bias of the last two games will definitely get you there.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, right? It's recency bias. We'll see. And again, Dr. Bob on the show later to talk about both of these. One last thing now here as we go to the semifinals, the bracket and the first ever 12-team playoff. Mm. Here's how I know that the bracket has been fakakta with all the seedings. When you talk about like March Madness and the 64 team, obviously there's two play-in games, but when you get to 64, once you see the bracket, if you're into college basketball and betting, you pretty much have the seeds in your head from that point forward. Oh yeah, that's a 5-12 game. That's a
That's okay.
A 4-13 game. You know, that's a 3-14. That's an 8-9. Like you get it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The NFL, even when they go when they change formats from you know, 6 teams to 7 teams, and now one team gets a bye, you still have it in your head. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, the winner of this game will play the winner of this game, so on and so forth. Name your sport, the NBA, 1-8, 2-7, like, you get it. You have it. Once it's etched in your mind, you know it throughout the duration of that postseason because you're a fan and you're betting. This one, Kelly, it's only 12 teams, I swear to you. I have to keep consulting this bracket a million times, and that alone tells me they got all of this wrong.
I love that you bring this up. I mean, I guess I don't know if it means they got it wrong, but I was laughing with it when Brendan and Savannah put up the bracket earlier, and I was like reading the seed numbers, and I'm like, you could have quizzed me on which right. one. I don't know if I would have gotten a single one right.
And I get the rules, right? You have 4 conference winners, and then the 5th best right. one gets in there. I get all that. But I'm just saying, if us as sports fans and sports bettors have an issue just assigning it to memory in your brain after decades of getting every, you know, being like 1,000-0 in having this okay with us, it says something's wrong about the bracket. Does that make sense? Just
yeah.
from a mechanical standpoint?
Yeah.
Like I keep having to going back and be like, okay, who played who again? Oh yeah, Texas or else. Sure. Anyway.
But this is also kind of like, I guess it's kind of similar to me as like, if you could just ask me a bunch of NBA teams' records, like, I probably wouldn't know them off, or I'd right. be close. I wouldn't yeah. know them off the top of my head, but I could tell you what they've done in the past week and a half, because that's what I've really been handicapping.
Well,
you
that's
know what
a
I mean?
Like, that's a different thing. I'm just talking about like, as lifelong sports fans and lifelong sports bettors, right? That stuff is second nature to us.
Yeah.
This, over and over again, I'm like, okay, they play who again now? Because the seedings are all jacked up as they have.
I am very intrigued to see how this plays out over the next few years, because I'm fairly confident in them making some changes and being willing to, I think, is the most important part, which they sound like they're willing to make changes to this if they need to.
Sounds that
so way. That's good. But I think I was in the camp of, I don't know if this is really going to work that well since the beginning. So we'll see. We'll see. Give it another year or two.
All right. Want to start some Are We Sure?
Sure.
Are we sure? NFL Week 18. Estamos seguros.
All right. I'm going to jump down a little bit because I might have made a bet yesterday. Are we sure Kelly won't lose money betting Joe Burrow on comeback player of the year?
By the way, I should say, estamos seguros with a question mark on each side. I did that right, yeah, inflection. Right.
There you go.
Are we sure, phrase that again, are we sure that Kelly won't lose money betting on Joe Burrow for comeback player
of
the year?
Are we sure Joe Burrow is going to win comeback player of the year?
No, I like it the way for the first
time.
Yeah. No, I am not sure you're not going to lose money.
Me either.
Because I think what we learned, that the AP is accepting ballots on Sam Darnold, despite their guidelines. We have no idea if voters are going to comply. I think Sam Darnold's going
to
win this.
You know the one, so I go to bet this yesterday, and the bettor's mindset, right? It's the, okay, I'm betting into an award that we've been going crazy about for a couple years. This is not going to be a huge bet for me, but I'm going to bet it because I think this number's silly on Joe Burrow.
And you found this in town yesterday.
Yeah, MGM posted. MGM posted. They had -175, so I did end up betting that. And then you think about it, Gil. So I'm like, okay, I have a rough idea how much I'm going to bet on this. And then you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But how do I know this number's not going to move more in my direction? So like, then I hold back a little bit more even because I don't know after this week.
Whetting your appetite with Are We Sure, as Flatter would say. We got more of that on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSIN today. Use promo code VSIN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy and gain the edge in your trading game. That's BubbaTrading.com/VSIN, promo code VSIN500. And we hope to have Todd on the show here in the coming weeks. You know, as soon as things slow down just a tad.
Yeah.
We got what? We got wild card weekend. We got the divisional round. We got the national semis and finals. Can't wait. Starting to get a little teary-eyed about college football, though. There's only a grand total of 6 more games. You have 3 rando. These are the awkward bowl games. These are the ones that come after, you know.
It's yeah. Like
the post-January 1st rando bowl games. We have 2 today. By the way, the favorites are appropriately favored in both, I think. And then the last of the randos tomorrow. And then just the semis and the final.
I do feel like, though, and I don't know if this is a general sentiment out there, but if you're a casual college football fan like I am, the college football playoffs have not done a great job so far of really getting me excited to watch the remainder of the college football playoffs.
You mean by how they've gone?
Yeah, just a lot of the games have been gotten out of control or not been all that exciting. I don't know. They just haven't done a ton for me.
I do think the non, you know, metric time that we usually have of 1 week between games is messing with that also.
There's also, yeah, I agree with you.
I just think it's, we're so trained to have these, you know, this meter of games. And when it becomes 9 or 10 days, you do kind of,
it's easier to check out a little bit. You know, you're not thinking about it every day.
Because we always say about the Super Bowl, 7 days is too short.
Yes.
But 14 is way too long.
It's way too long. Yep.
And 9 or 10 is appropriate. But for college football, I don't know. Not from you know, opening round to quarters to semis anyway.
And it's football's fault to start with already because they trained us to think week to week.
That's right. And yes, we are keenly aware that we are going to wish that we had football of any kind come February, you know, late February, or say July, for instance. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. Trip Tepper. Sensational Megapod to kick off the 2025 calendar year. Was thinking about an appropriate trophy for the Megapod capping championship. Perhaps a gold-plated pylon or a pylon made of cork as a nod to Todd's gambling lair. All good ideas. By the way, Todd with a 1.5 game lead on me heading into the final week of the season. I got my work cut out for me. This is from Crazy Carl. Crazy Carl. I love that.
Crazy Carl.
Crazy Carl. You remember Carl from the Cleveland Browns Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
Where the coaches were like on the sidelines. They go, who names their kid Carl? You say to a baby, coochie, coochie, coo, Carl.
And then we had that discussion on air once, and I remember bringing up the name Larry about that. And Larry Meir, our great graphics op and technical director back at the D, was sitting back there.
One of my greatest friends is Carl. Notes over the last few weeks, he says. Targeting on Texas has been reviewed and not upheld in each of their last three games. Also, can basketball change a two-point to a four-point and a three-point to a five-point? A 25% increase for the shot may even out the odds. Scoring records can be adjusted. Carl's got a lot on his mind this morning.
Yeah, he does.
With basketball.
Oh, man, wait, let's not go back to the let's try to fix the NBA conversation.
No, let's not do that. Jason H11, I'm laughing because you hear Barkley going after Reddick yesterday. Oh, yeah, my God. Yeah. Jason H11, congrats on the weight loss, Kelly. Speaking of weight loss, another great megapod. Yinzer was off the rails. Loved Ace. I've been listening since the Ace and Marco days, and he always brings back great memories. Yes, he does. Absolutely does. Tom Mass, 313. Yeah, he took the Chargers-Bengals parlay that we discussed on the show with Crack yesterday. Remember, correlation exists here. Not as rampantly as it used to when the NFL... You know, prior to the final week of the season, prior to the NFL sort of catching on that they needed to put most related games, I'm talking about related in terms of playoff position and playoff implications, in the same windows. Now they do that by and large. But there is an opportunity to parlay Chargers-Bengals. There is an opportunity to parlay Steelers-Raiders because, again, the Steelers inhabit the 5 seed currently. They would want to still be the 5 seed even if the Ravens eliminate them from contention for the division, because you would get to go to Houston. And right now, Houston looks like the weakest in-form team headed into the playoffs. So if the Steelers win that, then the Chargers would not have anything to play for the following day. Also, vice versa, if the Steelers were to lose to the Bengals, then the Chargers would have every incentive to play on Sunday as well. Therefore, ergo, those parlays.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm sitting back there yesterday, and you and Bill are out here, and I'm trying to run through these, different parlays. I don't understand. I understand what a correlated parlay the books might not want to take, and they might not offer that. But why would they take one and not the other?
Don't understand that. We talked about you sent that text yesterday during the crack hour, which is DraftKings will accept one of those, but not the other.
And I believe it was Bengals-Chargers. Bengals-Chargers, they take. They would not take Steelers-Raiders.
Cowboys_Cubs1, primetime. Yo, word. Got a word in there. Congrats to K. Michael Bidlin on his new aerodynamic shape.
That's right.
There is only one way to celebrate that. 50-piece. Be like Giannis after his 50-piece in the finals and head to Chick-fil-A and have yourself a 50-piece. Rinse and repeat.
I'm already mad at Gil because he brought up fried chicken like 2 days ago and how good it sounded. All I've been thinking about for 2 days now is fried chicken.
I got fried chicken in my head. Oh man.
I almost got it like 3 times yesterday.
Got it. It was as delicious as I imagined it to be. And now I'm good for another 5 years.
Yeah.
That's how it works on that. Paul Zhang agrees with you. Says, bang on, Kelly. The playoffs have stunk. He agrees with you.
Yeah.
On that.
They haven't done much for me.
And then what he called me Rod here, I have to say, he wants Jason Weingarten on the show, the winningest ANG handicapper of sporting events. He would like for him to be allowed to speak more words today. And then he adds, once again, Kelly spoke the perfect amount. I love those. Those are the best tweets. Not too much.
So is the Jason joke just to work that joke in there?
I have no idea.
Don't worry. Pheasant coming up later, you get to judge how well I've done all week.
It totally feels like he did that just to work that joke in. More Are We Sure Week 18. What you got?
All right. This is maybe my favorite question of the year. Are we sure the Browns can't cover 20 points?
Okay, this is fantastic because this, by the time I went from here to do the Megapod yesterday, it had soared to 19.
It's wild.
And it's 19. Now it's 20. Ravens minus 20. By the way, the total is 41 also on the 20-point spread.
I know.
This is like an Alabama game Citadel. Against Citadel. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Citadel, where you worry about
they play them every year.
You worry about the late pick six that'll cover this. So the question was, am I sure they can't?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they can't. It's 20 for
it's
God's sake.
20
sakes.
Points. Okay, but if you had to bet this though.
Oh, I would take the Ravens.
Take the Ravens.
Yeah, because I'm not going to lose. If you're making me do it, I'd rather lose on the Ravens than I would backing DTR, who, once again, we went through these stats on guessing lines. For those who missed the the Dorian Thompson-Robinson show last week, he threw the ball. He had 47 pass attempts and couldn't even get to 200 yards.
How sad is that?
So his yards per attempt ended up being, what, 3.7, something like that? I mean, that's, he's just not an NFL quarterback.
I believe I heard Drew and Andy talking about this on their pod. He might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen.
He's up there with those kind of numbers.
I mean, like, I know that's a rough statement right there, and there's plenty of guys that would qualify for it in your own mind, but, man, he's up there.
Here it is.
You know what else, though, Gil? If I knew Jameis was playing and I was getting this kind of number, I would be taking a sprinkle down that money line for sure.
Of course
you
would.
Are you kidding me?
Of course you would. By the way, DTR, just to be clear, I overshot. It's 3.6 yards per attempt. 47 pass attempts, 170 yards, 3.6 yards per attempt. Whew. This past week.
Yikes.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure they can't cover, yeah, but if I had to bet, I'd take them.
That's really just one I wanted to get to. Like, if we had to bet, we'd still be laying it with the Ravens. At what would be your point of resistance? 23.5. If I made the line 23.5 and you had to bet it.
Well, no, the way you're saying it is if you had to bet it, which I'm not, right? But if I had to, I would still rather not be stupid, I would feel stupider having done it on the Browns. Even at that number.
All right, would you bet on the Browns for 24.5 points? 24.5? You'd actually bet the Browns? All right. Yeah. All right. Are we sure the Chiefs should be nearly half the price of the Bills and Ravens to win the Super Bowl?
Well, yeah, because they don't have to play a game and it's through their ballpark. So it's through their stadium. So, yeah, I mean, no, it sounds kind of appropriate. With apologies to both the Ravens. By the way, I think
that has to be factored in. Don't get me wrong.
I have the Ravens power rated number one, so my answer actually ought to be no. But I get why. And then, by the way, Aaron Schatz, you know, this year's Ravens ended up being like his sixth greatest team of all time,
really,
per DVOA, and they've lost 5 games. And even he says, he goes, my numbers have to be biased towards the Ravens for some reason. Even he's shocked by it. We'll get him on next week.
Okay, are we sure?
Yeah.
The Lions, Eagles, or Vikings will win the NFC?
No, we're not. And you would think that me being in the tank for Washington, that's who I'm thinking about. I'm actually not. You know what team keeps getting in my mind? And it's not the Packers either.
The Rams.
The Rams.
Yep.
There is something about that team that I just think to myself, they can upset anybody. Any one of those teams on any given day, and you should not be surprised.
Got a Super Bowl winning quarterback, that caliber. Puka Nacua might be, what, a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL?
A great football player.
He's incredible.
So I'm not sure. I'm really not. And that both of our power rankings, 3 AFC teams on top, and then all 7 NFC.
Yep.
Coming back.
Holcomb with the foot.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN fans, you're in luck. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens offering you 15% off at 3 incredible properties. Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel in Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSiN15. Book your 2025 stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use VSiN15 to get 15% off. How about that? Your Vegas adventure starts here. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Paul Carr standing by to talk some Premier League with us. But first, the last two of our Are We Sure? What do you got?
Are we sure the Browns should be deciding to bench Dorian Thompson-Robinson the final week of the season and rolling with Bailey Zappe?
So as a few people have told us on Twitter, it's not going to be DTR. It's going to be Bailey Zappe. Now, here's my excuse. I went from this to the Megapod straight to Georgia Notre Dame yesterday. So I completely missed this. You? What's your excuse?
Yeah, I got nothing, I guess. I didn't see this at all yesterday. But what, are we supposed to take away from this, though, that this line went up? Like, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is worth more to the line than Bailey Zappe?
That's what James Sott tweeted, and he said, no. He said, Bailey Zappe is starting. Who knew DTR was worth 4 points? It's so dumb.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, it is.
It kind of makes me want to reconsider. I'm no longer laying 20. If I had to bet it, I'd take the 20.
What's your last one?
Are we sure Saquon Barkley doesn't want to play this game on Sunday?
We're not sure. We don't know we don't know what's in his head, but he's saying all the right things publicly.
He is saying all the right things.
Yeah, absolutely is. Now, we do know that Eric Dickerson is in his living room twerking, as I said yesterday.
I think it's tough because I do think this is one of those things that if the whole team wants to do, you should do it. But it's so much harder with a running back because it means you got to play everybody. Like, you can't take, you can't rest offensive linemen. No. You can't even rest the wide receivers because they're just going to stack everybody at the line of scrimmage.
It's their award, too, by the way. So when O.J., you know, O.J. Simpson, we were, for those of us who are of a certain age, the his offensive line was a thing, the electric company, right? Joe DeLamalure, Reggie McKenzie. Eric Dickerson, everybody knows Jackie Slater, right? So it, the offensive line becomes really associated with this kind of thing. All of John Riggins' years were the Hogs, right? Like, we know the great offensive line. So it is a, it's got to be a group decision.
It makes it tough. It's just because if you have a Lane Johnson, be like, yo, I need a week off.
Yeah.
Then it's okay. Like, we're, we can't do this.
That's right. Paul Carr joins us. That's Paul Carr, everybody, from the Progressive Guest Line. He is not in Topeka, Kansas. He is on the road in D.C. in the DMV. He joins us now through Alexander Graham Bell's great invention of the telephone, the senior director of marketing and business, of course, at True Media Sports, also the host of the Expected Value podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr with two R's. What's happening, Paul?
Gil, and in D.C. at the ABCA, it's the National Baseball Coaches Convention. So we've got coaches from, you know, youth baseball all the way up through pro doing all kinds of meetings, demonstrations, et cetera. We're here to meet with college coaches, though, mostly Division I.
Okay, so explain that. That's interesting. By the way, not marketing business, media and business for Paul over at True Media Sports. So are you, you know, we've talked to you before about your job at True Media Sports, analytics, spreading analytics throughout the professional sports leagues. Is this a thing now in Division I baseball? Is that what this is?
Yeah. So we've been in the Division I space for, we're entering our fifth season. And I will say, when we got in, they're more, they do a lot more than I thought they did from an analytics data perspective, especially, you know, your SEC schools that have a lot of money and, you know, it might be a profitable sport for them. So, you know, their facilities and equipment and all that stuff, from a technical standpoint, is for the top schools especially, is probably as good as anything you're going to see outside the majors. You know, looking better than a lot of most of the minor league stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of, it's been an arms race really the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years of just getting up to speed on, you know, getting cameras installed so you have the right, you know, angles and things like that, and having the data access and all these things. So it's I think it's further along than most people who aren't dialed into college baseball outside, you know, the World Series or something, understand.
This is one of these things where we used to go to Sloan Sports Analytics Conference at MIT. The teams that were not represented in those days, we used to kind of have, there was like this shame about them. Washington, the Washington Skins being one of them at that time with Daniel Snyder. Are you at liberty to tell us like the two or three programs that are like more analytically inclined than maybe everybody else?
Not specifically, but I mean, it's kind of, it lines up pretty well with money. I think so. You know, your top conferences are your SEC, ACC, top of the Pac-12 type of conferences. Those are the teams that tend to be more advanced just because they have more money, you know, whether it's more coaches, whether it's larger, you know, student staffs or whoever it is, just to break down stuff. It roughly lines up along those lines as well.
Okay. That makes sense. Do you want to take a, how about a listener question? How about from Tim Lawson from the Better Life again?
All right.
With a Paul Carr soccer segment, he asks, I'm curious if Paul Carr has any thoughts on Liverpool to win multiple trophies markets, EPL, obviously the Premier League, FA Cup, Champions League, etc. Anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on the price, but if we just run through them, you know, Liverpool is a heavy favorite to win the Premier League, -450 or something like that most places. Right now they're the favorite to win Champions League, that's +400 because we're still in the group stage there. They're the favorite in the semis of the EFL Cup. FA Cup's the longer shot just because it's super early. They're probably the betting favorite, but, you know, we're in the, I forget, fifth round or something like that, round of 32 equivalent. So there's the question there of, you know, how much are they going to try early in these rounds? Because a lot of the big clubs will, you know, you kind of play your B team for the first couple rounds, then you get into the quarters or something, and then you bring out the big guns. I'd have to look at the prices, but you kind of, the Premier League is, not a foregone conclusion, but if you're -450, it's getting there. And they're probably even money-ish to win the EFL Cup. So you're probably not getting a great price, but there's a pretty high chance they've come away with at least two trophies this year.
Liverpool currently with a six-point lead in the Premier League, exactly halfway through the Premier League season, or at least for most clubs, it's exactly halfway through. Liverpool has one more game to get through, and perhaps Paul has a pick on the Liverpool game coming up on Sunday against Man U. Let's start with Saturday. What do you have on Saturday?
All right. Yeah. As soon as a theme for this week, it's we're fading bad teams, being really bold there. But I'm taking Brentford to win at Southampton on Saturday. Brentford, middle of the table type of team. Southampton is, you know, they're minus 5,000 to get relegated or something at this point. This is a stylistic play as well because Brentford presses a lot. They have about fifth most possessions that start in the opposing, in the attacking third, rather. And Southampton has given up the ball the most in their own attacking or their own defensive third. So I'll say Southampton's sloppy with the ball. Brentford's going to take that and score goals is what I think is going to happen here. Brentford has also dominated the other two teams that are newly promoted. They scored four goals against Leicester and Ipswich. So I think Brentford goes on the road here, takes care of business. Southampton only has 6 points all season. They've lost 15 games so far. So Brentford win, plus 150 on the road Saturday.
All right, Aston Villa take it on Leicester City. Leicester City not having a fine start to this season. They're 19th out of 20 in the Prem table. What do you got here?
Yeah, Leicester look like maybe they were going to try to push to stay up, but now not so much. They're, I think, minus 340 or so to be relegated. And they got a new manager, Ruud van Nistelrooy, former Man United stars, come in. And again, they look bright occasionally at first, but it seems like that new manager bounce is over. They've lost four in a row to a tough schedule. And Aston Villa, after they made Champions League last year, they're not as good this year. They're in ninth place and maybe run a little bit cold for the season, but they've looked better lately, especially on the offensive end. Ollie Watkins, Morgan Rogers playing well for them. And they're at home. I'm going to lay the goal in half at minus 110. Leicester has surrendered multiple goals in five straight games, eight of their last nine, and also been shut out in three out of four. So most of those games were against decent opposition, but Villa's decent opposition. So Aston Villa lay the goal in half at minus 110.
All right, and then you do have a play Sunday on the Liverpool game. Liverpool taking on Man U. Man U having a miserable first half of the season in the Premier League. You are also laying the goal in the half here.
Yeah, I mentioned fading bad teams, and there's a real argument that Man United's a bad team right now. They're in 14th place, only marginally unlucky. Like, it's not like they're just running absurdly cold or something from a finishing standpoint. They, again, looked good for a couple games when they hired Ruben Amorim as their new manager, but they've now lost five of the last six. And on the Liverpool side, look, we talked about all the trophies they're in contention for. They're in first place. If you had to power rank teams in the world right now, they're number one, I think, for most people. They do have a couple injury issues, but the attack is healthy, and that's where they've been the best this season. United struggles to score. Haven't scored in three straight games, and Liverpool has scored at least two in all except one home game this season. So, yeah, it's juicy to lay the goal in half. I have it at minus 140, but you've got, you know, the best attack in the league against average at best Premier League team. 2-0, 3-1, something like that for Liverpool is what this looks like to me.
Okay, so to review, the three-pack of plays from Paul Carr, once again, just moving the sticks, moving the chains each and every week here on the show. Brentford to win tomorrow at Southampton. He got it at plus 150, always shop around. Then Aston Villa laying the goal and a half against Leicester City, which is looking more and more like a team that is headed towards relegation. Sunday, Liverpool laying the goal and a half against Man U as Liverpool tries to extend its lead in the Premier League table. Paul, safe travels, sir. We appreciate it, man.
All right. See if my Dolphins can sneak into the playoffs somehow.
Yeah, by the way, can I just say this? We were talking about this on the Megapod. The fact that the Dolphins only have to win and have a Broncos loss to get in the playoffs is stunning.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it at all. Yeah,
it's stunning. No offense, Paul. No offense.
It was like 5% last week, but three things went right. Now they only need a couple more.
It's amazing. Paul Carr, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game. Your dreams have come true. Jason Weingarten is next.
VSIN, the sports betting network.
Did you know you can take VSIN with you wherever you go? With the VSIN Watch app, it's never been easier to stay connected to the action, whether you're on your phone, tablet, or even your smart TV. And here's the best part. It's absolutely free for a limited time. With the VSIN Watch app, you get 24/7 live access to our audio and video streams, replays of your favorite VSIN shows, the ability to stream directly to your smart TV, quick access to clips by sport, and a search feature that lets you find exactly the insights you're looking for from VSIN experts. Don't miss out. Get the VSIN Watch app. Stay in the game wherever you are. I use it a lot. Want to see a replay of something? Go get it. It's very streamlined. Streamlined, sexy. What other S words can we come up with? I don't know. All that stuff.
The app is sexy, folks.
speaking of sexy, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, it's Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke at Spreadopedia. Jason, how you doing, man? Good Friday morning to you, sir.
Good Friday morning. Good start to 2025. It's a new year and same me.
Same Jason. Same Jason. Let me just, for those of you wondering, like, same Jason, what does that even mean? Let me tell you how this kid rolls. Can I call you a kid, by the way? So Stormy did the sidelines for the Rose Bowl between Oregon and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Holly Rowe, of course, on one sideline. Our Stormy Bonatoni getting just a great gig at the Rose Bowl. And if you think that she has anything over Jason Weingarten, though, you'd be mistaken. This is Jason's view of the game. Look at that. I mean, just were you talking to players? My God, good for you.
No, I leave the players alone. Just there to take in the scene and see what I can learn on the sideline.
See, now I understand, though, Gil, why he's not going to be able to get you the same tickets as has for that Rams-Commanders matchup.
Yeah. Now I understand. He'll be on the sidelines with the Rams.
He's got that sideline pass.
I'll just be like with the normal folks in the seats. Did you see Stormy? Do you know Stormy? Did you say hello to her?
I did not see her. I know what she looks like. I think I've done the show with her before, okay. But did not have a chance to run into her. I also try to stay out of the way of people actually doing their jobs on the sideline. It's a good way to get off the sideline.
That's true.
Drawing attention to yourself.
That is true.
If you are on the sideline, like Jason's talking about, and you're just trying to enjoy the game, there is very much a let me shuffle in and out of the way because everybody's trying to work except for you.
Yeah. All right, Jason, we have two things to ask, generally speaking. One is going to be about your Week 18 picks, obviously. But before we get to that, we were talking about Comeback Player of the Year yesterday. This is obviously a subject that you are very passionate about from past years when it came to Damar Hamlin, whether he should be the Comeback Player of the Year or not. What are your thoughts now on the AP after new guidelines this summer that came out saying, hey, look, injury, illness, special circumstances, or other circumstances, if I want to be correct in the verbiage here. Illness, physical injury, or other circumstances, that's what it requires that led a player to miss playing time. And by the way, there are folks who you know, texted in or tweeted in that said, hey, other circumstances is a big catch-all, so Sam Darnold could apply. But there is no way, I will push back on that pushback, which is there's no way the intent of other circumstances here was for simple benching by coach's decision. There's no chance of that.
Because that's exactly what they were trying to get rid of.
That's exactly right. So, Jason, now they've said we'll still accept those, but despite those guidelines that we very carefully put out there, and despite the fact that we checked in on these voters repeatedly, or we said we would, to make sure that we're complying with the guidelines, now at the end they're saying, that's great, we said all that, but we're going to take the ballots. What do you think?
So you're telling me that they basically said, here's a bunch of guidelines to follow. Oh, by the way, you don't have to follow these guidelines.
That's correct.
That's journalism these days for you, I guess. I don't know. I think it's tough. Based on them saying that they're not going to follow their own guidelines, I think that would probably imply Sam Darnold. But like I said, what a lot of this comes down to the fact that this is an award show at the end of the day, and these guys, more or less, the awards winners are going to be there to accept the awards unless they're playing in the Super Bowl. And even if they're playing in the Super Bowl, they're going to try to get them to the award show like they did with Cooper Kupp when he was winning an award and he was in L.A. But you're not going to excel guys on showing up to an award show to get the Comeback Player of the Year award for not being a loser anymore. We saw that with Geno Smith. We saw that last year with Joe Flacco. Like, these veteran quarterbacks just aren't going to show up to have an audience clap for them for not being losers anymore. So I think, you know, like it's tough. I want to say that they're telling you can vote for Darnold. But when I look at this list, you know, I really see bunch of guys with not great cases. So I guess my answer is I'm glad I don't have any money on this. I have a little bit on Damar Hamlin that's not getting home, but I think they should give it to Damar Hamlin to make up for not giving it to him when he actually deserved it. Honestly, Kelly, I couldn't tell you if you're good or bad. my platform, my big thing is award voting reform. You know, I think we need serious award voting reform. Probably in all sports, but especially in the NFL, it's the most popular. There's a lot of work to be done here.
I like what you said last time. You're like, people are being activist voters by coming up with their own stuff.
It's not just activism, Gil. It's like I told you yesterday. Mina Kimes tweeted that she already voted for her Defensive Player of the Year ballot. There's a week left. You're telling me that nobody can do anything? You're already made up your mind? Like, again, that's why I'm saying I'm happy. Most of my bets are dead in the water. I don't have anything to worry about. I'd be frustrated if I was finding out that people were voting before the season was over. That's absolutely not the intent of this stuff. Like, if a baseball writer was voting a week before the season was over, we'd let them have it. You know, we'd be all over them, shaming them about this. It's weird.
I completely agree with you on that. I love Mina Kimes. She's been on this show, but you're right. You should not put it out before the end of the season. It is still,
she does the Rams preseason game. She does a great job of that, by the way.
She does a great job at everything. Absolutely. But putting these in a week early is probably not the move. All right, week 18, what did you end up betting on?
Man, it's tough. Week 18 is always the week where you think you love something and you end up, you know, blowing yourself out on something that you really had no business betting on with backups. But I like the Rams here, 6.5. Jimmy Garoppolo is not exactly a nobody. Seahawks, I don't know, maybe they got nothing to play for either. So give me the Rams, 6.5 at home. I see some of these bigger spreads. Like, I got my eye on, I don't know what to do with the Chiefs plus 10, but the bigger spreads, the 13.5, the 20 with the Browns, like, you almost have to take 20 in a meaningless game on a Saturday where, you know, I don't know if the Ravens are going to have an incentive to run up the score. Like, 20, give me plus 20 on a 41 point total. I'll probably see if I could find any sort of teaser stuff there, you know, get a huge spread like that and a small total. You can play around with some stuff. But then the other thing is when you see a lot of these short totals this last week of the season, you see a 37.5 with Texans, the Giants game. It brings those 10-point three-team teasers back into play that I like from the preseason, because you're going to be able to tease a lot of these totals down to 27.5, 28, basically under 30. And I really don't think you're going to see a lot of defense from a lot of these teams in what's basically a glorified preseason game. You're likely going to see, you know, not necessarily a shootout, but, you know, healthy scoring as opposed to, you know, violent defense in week, what is this, week 18. So I'll be playing around with teasers, trying to do some unconventional stuff like that. Mostly I just don't want to be stuck with a big position on any one game before pre-flop, as you would say.
The 41 on the Browns and the Ravens with a 20-point spread, if you do the whole spread total conflation thing, that implies like a 31-10-ish final. So if you think the Browns can get to 13, let's say, then based on that, it sounds like you would support the Browns plus the points.
Yeah, and I'm just playing around. Like, I got the book up in front of me here. I just clicked on the 10-point teaser to see, and you can get Browns plus 30 over 31. You know, like, I don't know if it'll actually let me put that bet in. I think it will, but you get some weird numbers with when the totals and the everything gets out of whack week 17 or week 18. So, you know, pay attention to stuff like that. You really get some weird numbers.
Let me ask, since you're closest to the Rams, 6.5, are you leaning towards betting the Rams plus the points?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's just, I mean, 6.5, it opened what, like 3, and then it got to 4. And so are they, who are they expecting to play for the Rams? Like, they're expecting absolute practice squad. They're saying Jimmy G can't throw the ball. I'm absolutely taking 6.5 at home. You know, still have something to play for too. They do. They absolutely, you know, I know resting guys has value, but also avoiding Detroit, Minnesota in round one is also fairly important.
I do. I said this earlier, Jason. The question was asked, do I think that am I sure that Philly, Detroit, or Minnesota will ultimately be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl? And I'm like, I'm not sure of that because the Rams linger. That's the team I can't get out of my head.
I'm with you. I think the Packers losing Jaire Alexander is going to hurt them. And if I had to pick a team that's going to make a run, I'd pick the Rams. Also, I'm a little biased, but go Rams.
Jason Weingarten, everybody have a good weekend.
You too. You have a good weekend, guys.